We're starting a study in the book of Amos, Prophet Amos. For those of you, you might be interested, Amos was a layman. He was not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet. He was a layman, and he called it like it was, like a layman can do. You know, he shot right from the hip. And a bit rustic, but very, very good. And the title of this, Amos 1, 1 to 2, 3, God's Incensed Prediction of His Punishment of the Gentiles. When he needed a messenger to the wicked northern kingdom of Israel, when it was at the height of its spiritual rebellion against God, the Lord sent a layman named Amos, who was not a professional prophet, a man from the southern kingdom of Judah, north up to Israel to pronounce sharp judgment as a great warning to Israel. It's kind of like Elijah. Remember Elijah? He came in with that great big camel skin coat. He marched right into the Ahab and his finery and everything, and says, "It's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain." Then he stomps out, you know, and doesn't rain for 3.5 years. But that's the kind of prophet sometimes you need, someone who just calls it like it is. And that's the way Amos was. Well, Amos chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, 3 comprises God's incensed prediction of his punishment of the Gentiles, a fitting introduction to his message to Israel herself. And we view the passage for our insight, our application, and our edification. I want to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Amos chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, verse 3. The words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam the second, son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, "The Lord will roar like a lion from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Mount Carmel shall wither. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Damascus and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron. But I will send a fire into the house of Hatzael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will break also the bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitant from the plain of Aven, and him that holds the scepter from the house of Eden. And the people of Syria shall go into captivity unto Kir, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Gaza, and for 4 I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. But I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour the palaces thereof. And I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and him that holds the scepter from Ashkelon. And I will turn mine hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Tyre, and for 4 I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up the entire captivity to Edom, and remembered not the brotherly covenant. But I will send a fire on the wall of Tyre, which shall devour the palaces thereof. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Edom, and for 4 I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother with the sword, and did cast off all pity. And his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. But I will send a fire upon Teman, which shall devour the palaces of Botra. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of the children of Ammon, and for 4 I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have ripped open the women with child in Gilead, that they might enlarge their border. But I will kindle a fire in the wall of Rabbah, and it shall devour the palaces thereof with shouting in the day of battle, with a tempest in the day of the whirlwind. And their king shall go into captivity, he and his princes together, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Moab, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom to lime. But I will send a fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the palaces of Kirioth. And Moab shall die with tumult, with shouting, and with the sound of the trumpet. And I will cut off the judge from the midst thereof, and I will slay all the princes thereof with him, saith the Lord." You can tell how very pedantic this is, very preachy, but that's what he's doing. The setting for Amos' prophecies were the materially prosperous reigns of Judah's king Uzziah and Israel's king Jeroboam II, a time when both nations were complacent in their wickedness because of their material wealth. So God called a layman, Amos of Judah, to trek north up to Israel to deliver a blunt call to repent. This is kind of like calling somebody from Arkansas to come up to New York City, you know, do this. You know, people say, in fact, eventually they said, why don't you go back home? And that's exactly what they would probably say in New York, go back to Arkansas. Don't stay up here. But that's the way he was. He was a fish out of water, but he was effective. God's attitude was one of fury. In Amos 1:2, the Lord is likened to a lion who would roar from Jerusalem as he leaped on his prey, causing the pastures of the shepherds to mourn and the slopes of Mount Carmel, some of Israel's best farmlands, to wither. On the, I think, the western and the southern slopes of Mount Carmel, some of the richest land, farmland in all Israel. And even then, the crops were going to wither. Well, to make God's message to Israel effective, he had Amos begin by pronouncing punishment on the Gentile nations around Israel, pronouncements full of anger at the nation's acts of rebellion against him. Now, though the Gentile nations did not have the Mosaic law like Israel did, they and Israel alike were descendants of Noah and Noah's three sons who were under the Noahic covenant. And the Noahic covenant forbade mistreating other people since they were made in the image of God. Remember in Genesis 9, 5, and 6, God forbade them from killing other people, murdering other people. In fact, God says if you murder another human being, that's like murdering your brother. Because from God's perspective, all human beings are descendants from the same father, Adam. So if you kill another human being, you're killing your brother. It's fratricide, that's what they call it. And regardless of, you know, we have got what we call different races today. Actually, we're all one human race. It's just that because of selective breeding, this is why people have different physical features. But nevertheless, all the Gentile nations were under the Noahic covenant and were responsible and accountable to God for the Noahic covenant. The nations today don't recognize it, but every single nation is under the Noahic covenant. And the Noahic covenant says you respect other people in the image of God. Well, however, the Gentile nations surrounding Israel had grossly and repeatedly violated this divine covenant of Genesis 9, infuriating the Lord into producing judgment upon them. God had Amos claim that for three transgressions of Damascus and for four, he would not turn away its punishment. This saying refers to repeated and innumerable acts of rebellion. Normally when they say three, even four, God is actually thinking of seven. But he's not naming all seven in each of these nations. When he gets to the nation Israel, he'll name all seven of Israel's sins, but he's not naming all seven here. He's just saying three, even four, which is a shortcut to mentioning all seven. But in other words, this is something God says, I've had it with all of you guys. You've been doing this for a long, long time. I'm up to here with it. In other words, God's fed up. That's what he's doing. So the Arameans had pulled heavy sledges studded with iron prongs or knives over prisoners of Israel's people in Gilead, torturing them to death in violation of the Noahic covenant. So God would destroy the palace of Hazael, founder of the Aramean dynasty, and the ruler of Aramea in Amos's day, and they would be defeated and go into captivity. That's a clear violation of it. That's where they had murdered people, and murdered them and butchered them in violation of the fact that these people are in the image of God. See, murdering another human being is a sin against God because that person bears the image of God. You just can't do that to another person. God says, look, if you murder another human being, you forfeit your right to my image. And that's why we have capital punishment. We forfeit our right if we do that. Now, there are other sins that violate the image of God. Rape is one. Kidnapping is another one. So there are several sins that God views as serious in violating the image of God, and so forth. Now, God had Amos claim that for three transgressions and for four, he would not revoke his punishment on Gaza, that's the Philistines, because it captured entire communities with this express purpose of selling them as slaves for profit in violation of the Noahic covenant. The Mosaic covenant says kidnapping is actually a violation of the Noahic covenant. That's a violation against the image of God. And these people made a business out of going and capturing communities and then selling the people for slaves. People were money that way. So an infuriated God would send a fire on the wall of Gaza that would devour its strongholds. Many of the Philistines would be killed with their leaders, and the rest would perish. Incidentally, this shows you what God thinks of slavery that we had in our country. Actually, the slaves were sold by their own chiefs to the Arabs. The Arabs sold them to the British, and the British sold them to the Americans on board ships. So everybody's guilty in this one. The chiefs are for selling their people, the Arabs, the British, and then the Americans. But slavery, from God's perspective, that's stealing another human being. It's a violation of the image of God, and it's repugnant to God. God also had Amos claim that for 3 transgressions and for 4, he would not revoke his punishment on Tyre for failing to keep its covenant between Tyre's king Hiram and David by selling Hebrews into slavery, violating the Noahic covenant. See, they had covenant there. They were supposed to be, Hiram and David had made a covenant, so the people of Tyre and the people of Israel were supposed to be friends. But they had taken them captive, the people of Tyre kept them captive, a lot of them, and sold them as slaves, which is a violation of the image of God. So an infuriated God would then send a fire on the wall of Tyre that would devour its palaces. D, God had Amos claim that for 3 transgressions and for 4 he would not revoke his punishment on Edom for mistreating Hebrews, a relative nation of the Edomites. So an angry God would send a fire on Edom's cities for violating the Noahic covenant. Then God had Amos claim that for 3 transgressions and for 4 he would not revoke his punishment on Ammon for ripping open Israel's pregnant women in Gilead to enlarge their border, a wicked violation of the Noahic covenant. Incidentally, that would kill both the mother and the baby. That's murder, any way you look at it. So God would send a fire on the wall of its capital, Rabbah, devouring its strongholds and sending its king and its princes into captivity amid the commotion of defeat in battle. And then God had Amos claim that for 3 transgressions and for 4 he would not revoke his punishment on Moab for burning to lime the bones of the king of Edom in violation of the Noahic covenant. Now, you have to remember, in the Middle East, what you do to a body after it is dead is almost as serious as what you do to the person if he's still alive. So even though the king of Edom was dead, by burning his bones down to lime, down to powder, it was as though you were doing that to him as if he were alive. So in the culture of the day, that was a sin against the image of God. And so the Lord was going to be furious, and God said he would send in fire on Moab to destroy its strongholds, cutting off its ruler and its princes. And also remember, the Moabites and the Edomites are relatives. Moab was the descendant of Abraham's nephew Lot. And the Edomites were the descendants of Esau, which you move some generations later. Esau was the brother of Jacob. So they're still relatives. So for gross and repeat violations of the Noahic covenant that forbade mistreating others since they were made in the image of God, an infuriated Lord would promise to punish Damascus, Gaza, Tyre, Edom, Ammon, and Moab. So in application, may we recall that every human being on this earth is made in God's image, that we treat him honorably. You know, even if there is a stranger that we meet in the store or wherever, regardless what the conditions are, we have to remember that person is in the image of God, and God wants me to remember that I am obliged to show at least a Christian love towards that human being, because that human being bears his image. I think if everybody in the world had that view, we wouldn't have war. It wouldn't exist, and we would tend to get along a lot better. But people, unfortunately, have gotten away from the God of Scripture, and they've gotten away from that type of value of a human being, and that's why we've gotten into the problem. We wouldn't have abortions, you know. That would not be a non-issue, and things would be a lot different. But this is interesting. God has never forgotten his covenants, and he holds people still accountable. They may not know about it, but he's holding them accountable for the covenant that he made with Noah and his 3 sons. So God help us to be very, very careful. This fits, incidentally, Romans 13. Owe no man anything. I think it's verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love all men. That's interesting. And the love there is the same word, agapao, that God so loved the world. It's an unconditional love. So we owe it to all men.